Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, we want to welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is our Christian sympathy is extended to Whitey Ridenour and his family. Whitey's father passed away this week, and the funeral will be at Westport Baptist Church in Denver tomorrow, Monday, December 12th at 11 a.m. Visitation will begin at 9:45 a.m. Please be in prayer for Whitey and his family. Paul Creek Elementary School has asked if we would help them with three families that include 12 children that they cannot find a sponsor for their angel tree this year. If you would be interested in helping them by providing gift cards to Walmart or Visa, which they prefer, please bring them to the church office no later than today, December the 11th. You can put marked donations in the offering plate this morning, and we'll turn it in to gift cards, or drop a gift card in the church office back door slot sometime today. Thank you for your consideration. Everybody is invited to join me tonight at 6 p.m. for the Great Stories of the Old Testament Bible Study in room 113. Tonight we'll be in the wisdom literature. We'll be looking at Ecclesiastes and Proverbs for certain, and maybe a little Song of Solomon. So join us for that. Youth is also here at 6 o'clock tonight at the Fellowship Hall with Taylor. Cook's session has a meeting tonight at 7 p.m. Please, if you're on the session, don't forget that in room... Well, it's not going to be in room 113. That's what it has. It'll be in the Fellowship Hall. So that's a mistake. All women 18 to 100 years plus old are invited to Cook's Presbyterian Women's Christmas party. Whether you attend a monthly circle meeting or not, this Tuesday, December 13th at 6:30 p.m. at the home of Penny Love. They ask that you please bring an appetizer or dessert to share and an unwrapped toy for any age boy or girl that will be delivered to a children's charity. See Penny if you have any questions. We hope all of you will join us for our Christmas Eve service at 5 p.m. and our Christmas morning worship service at 10. We'll observe the sacrament of Holy Communion on Christmas Eve, sing Christmas carols, and light the light of Christ to take out into the world at the end of our Christmas Eve worship. Invite your family and friends to come and join you. Please note, we will not have Sunday school on the morning of the 25th, nor of the 1st, because of the holidays. We look forward to worshiping with you on these two dates to celebrate the loving gift God gave us all. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in loving memory of Roy and Gladys Cox by Freddie and Mary Lou Cox. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought to the congregation at this time? All right. That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is the third Sunday of Advent. We have lit the first two candles, one for hope and one for peace. Today we light the third candle, the candle of joy. This should be the easy one because joy is all around us, in the children, the lights, the music, the gathering together. But how often do we let our preparations or our memories push joy to the side? Joy is like an underground spring that wells up within us. But joy is also a choice, an attitude, like a muscle that needs to be exercised. So today we open ourselves to joy, trusting that God has already planted it in us. All we need to do is to give it care and offer to share. Let us pray. Loving God, we open ourselves to you, trusting that this is how you made up. You created us for joy-filled hearts and lives. Show us the creative power of hope. Teach us the peace that comes from justice. Fill us with the kind of joy that cannot be contained but must be shared. Prepare our hearts to be transformed by you that we may walk in the light of Christ.
Amen. Let us continue in prayer. God of song and silence, speak to us today. God of joy and justice, help us see how you weave them together in wombs and in rooms, in letters written and privileges waved. God of surprising power and fierce tenderness, visit us. Fill us with your spirit and give us voices to sing your praise. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 144. Saying is sure and true and worthy of our full acceptance, that Christ himself bore our sins on his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. 1 John reminds us that if we say that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is righteous and just, will forgive us of our transgressions and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. And for this reason, we confess our sin corporately this morning using the words of the prayer of confession found in the bulletin. Join me as we confess. Mighty and powerful God, your word says, rejoice always, but we would rather sulk about the things that don't go right. Your word says, pray without ceasing, but we go for days without even thinking about you. Your word says, give thanks in all circumstances, but our thankfulness is fleeting because we think we deserve blessings. Your word says, hold fast to what is good, while we hold fast to sinful ways of thinking and acting. Forgive us, Heavenly Father. Right our ways so that we might delight in your everlasting light. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we're assured of a wonderful truth. It's a truth that can never leave us, that will never forsake us, that will always find us filled with joy to remember. That Jesus Christ took flesh, was born in order to die for us and for our salvation. In him we find the assurance of our faith, and in him we find the forgiveness of God everlasting. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
We come now to the space in our service where we unify our voices along the lines of what we believe. This morning we use the Apostles' Creed, an ancient confession that binds the church together along one story, one faith, one hope, one love in Jesus Christ. So join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. The words are found in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our second hymn, number 140.
We will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Once in royal David's city stood a lonely cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. There he was, that mother child, Jesus Christ, her
have a time that's especially for children. If they'd like to join us here on the carpet, Taylor is going to lead them in a time that's just for them.
Good. Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. So just like the third candle was lit today, I'm going to talk a little bit about joy. For y'all, what are some things that like give you joy that you do like in your everyday life? Sports? What sports? Every sport? I love that. What are some things? For me, again, I was a big sports guy. I played baseball. Now that I've retired and all that, I enjoy playing golf. I enjoy hanging out with some friends. I enjoy doing all these things. So these are some little things that make my life, like, joyful. But the beauty of it is that for us, we can have the everlasting joy through Jesus. I know that this time of the year is Christmas. I know we all like receiving gifts, don't we? Christmas morning, there's a big old pile of gifts for us to receive, and you get joy out of that. But the beautiful thing is that we got the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus, who gives us that eternal joy and that overpowers every other little thing. Because the joys that we have here, whether it's sports, whether it's hanging out with friends, whether it's doing something fun, is temporary and it's good. But we can be confident that no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, we can have that joy through Jesus. I know for me, there's been times where I've been either sad or angry or frustrated, but when I go back and pray, or I go back and read the Bible and have some conversations with people about Jesus, that everlasting joy comes back into my life and is a big, big encouragement. And I encourage you all to do the same, whether it's praying a little bit in the mornings before you go to school, or being able to read your Bible, and nothing crazy. You can read a verse a day. That's how I started. But I learned over the years that the more that I talk with God and spend some time with Him, the more joy that I get in my life. So I encourage you, especially in this time, look to Him for that joy, because that joy surpasses everything else. But I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll be good. All right, guys? All right, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just, again, thank You for this day. God, we thank You just for the opportunity just to come and spend some time just with these kids, God. And, Lord, I just ask that they look to You just for that everlasting, the joy, God, that I know that I have seen it in so many ways in my life, God. And I just ask that You put on their hearts to look for You in that, God. But, Lord, especially during this time of the Christmas season, God, that we know that the greatest gift of all was Jesus, God. And we're so grateful and thankful for that, Lord. But can just continue to watch over these students and just be with everyone in this time. Lord, we thank You. We love You. In His name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch or keep. Son of man.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming the Word of God. We do so trusting that the Holy Spirit will be with us, filling us with the knowledge of God's salvation, and thus leading us to that inexplicable joy that comes not only during this holiday season, but all the days of our lives if we'll but allow it. But before we begin with the reading of the Word, let us seek out the Lord in prayer with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life. We just pray that in this time before us that you would stir, Spirit, God, be with us, allowing us to hear the message you want us to hear, O Lord. Vivify this text, these texts, these words, so that we might know with certainty and assurance what you would have us do and be. We make all these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. You can find it on page 709 in the Pew Bible. The wilderness and dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of God, the majesty of our God, strengthen in weak hands, and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and the highway shall be there, and shall be called the way of the holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Return and come to, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Our New Testament scripture reading today comes to us from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 24. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is Gaudet Sunday is the Latin term for it, or Joy Sunday. It's the one Sunday in our Advent season where we lift high this remarkable quality, quantity, and experience of the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. It seems a little out of place these days as the whole Christmas season has really kind of become a season of happiness to mark one for just joy. But it helps us to remember that the ancient tradition upon which our Advent is set really saw Advent as a mini Lent. It was a season of penitence and a time of self-reflection. And so for the one Sunday in this rather somber, self-reflective season, we were to have joy, to experience and to focus on the fullness of what God intends for us on this side of everlasting. But, you know, as I said, the real problem becomes that we've gotten so addicted to happy in some ways that we don't really seek or search or thirst for the kind of joy that's available to us all. I can remember a great many happy Christmases. In fact, one in particular stands out to me to this very day. I was 5 years old, and we lived in Springfield, a far piece from where my dad's family was in Lenoir, North Carolina. And in order to get there, we had to wake up at like 4 in the morning. Our parents shoved us in the back of their old Duster, and down through the West Virginia Turnpike we would drive. I remember it was the West Virginia Turnpike that we were on because Dad, God bless him, had a little tendency to not like that particular stretch of driving, and gosh, you knew it from his language from time to time, that West Virginia Turnpike. But we got to Lenoir safely, and it was there that things truly became wonderful. You see, I had a doting grandmother. I had an aunt that was almost like a second grandmother, and she had a dog. Its name was Lady. Lady was just kind of a black and white mutt, but gosh, did she hold our hearts. You know, my parents didn't allow us to have pets at the time, and so for coming down and just being able to spend time with Lady, the dog, in that unfinished basement there was a Christmas present of in and of itself. And gosh, there were so many relatives. You know, when we were living in Lenoir, we were removed from all of our family. And if you've ever had to experience life apart from your family, you know that it can get sometimes a little lonely, a little claustrophobic perhaps even. But then to come to Lenoir and to be surrounded by aunts and uncles, and what was even more amazing is I had tons of cousins, and we were able to play in that downstairs unfinished basement with Lady the dog. We just kept running around in circles. I think we had a name for the game that we played, but I don't remember it to this day. And oh my goodness, the food, y'all. This was a family of bakers, so there were cookies and cakes and candies everywhere. Oh, and the presents. I'll never forget, they had one of those tinsel Christmas trees. You remember that? Those were a thing of the 1970s, I think, where instead of green, they were silver. You remember those? They were garish things, but gosh, we loved them. They were piled so high, underneath that tree was piled so high with presents because there were 30 or 40 of us. I can imagine it's kind of like the Thompson family Christmas with presents, right? So many that you just can't quite see all the tree from it. It was a joyful, it was a wonderful, wonderful, happy time. And that really does give me good feelings to remember all those people. Because, you know, as the march of years goes forward, many of those folks have gone on to their great reward. And I can't hug them anymore, eat their cakes and cookies and candies, and believe me, I would. I like cookies, cakes, and candies, right? That's a very happy moment in time, and I'm blessed to have lived it. And I hope, as you think back on your Christmas memories, that you have fond ones as well, happy ones, that you're able to attach to and to remember. But I had another experience more recently in the last several years, and the two are different, and I want to tell you about it, quite different, really. This second experience I had came as I was driving home from River Hills Community Church after a midnight service at Christmas. It was not really a remarkable service. I'm sure the music was good, but my mind was other places. You see, that was the first Christmas after my sister Amy Lee had unexpectedly and very suddenly passed away. And so I spent that whole Christmas in the church you know, faking being happy, because that was what I thought what I needed to do. I was going through the motions of Christmas. It was very difficult. And so one of the motions, the last one of the season, was this midnight service. And I went to it and did whatever it was they asked me to do. I don't think I preached that night. I think I maybe said a prayer. But I was coming home in this kind of months-long funk that all of a sudden this warm and wondrous contentment swept over me, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was loved by God. I knew with certainty that there was a salvation, and that salvation had come directly through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ had called us before the foundations of the earth to join him in this everlasting, wondrous state of joy that will be the kingdom of God. And it just came over me, and it just sat there like a joyful experience. It was amazing. It was take your breath away kind of level stuff. And as I remember those two incidents that I'm so blessed to have had, I realized there is a difference between happiness and joy. There's a very different experience, because happiness is really entirely dependent on our context. I can tell you that it was very hard to be happy when I ended up scraping my car up against that bumper the other day. That was very, very hard. I couldn't be happy. I was mad at myself. But as I told you last week, as I got home and was surrounded by family and love and reminders that nobody's perfect, I was once again able to connect with that wondrous sense that God loves us. And what a blessing that is that reminder that God loves us, to come to us and to be with us in the midst of all of our struggles. It's the reason why James can write one of the most baffling pieces of scripture that's out there. James, at the very beginning, says this in chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Well, when you're in the soup, so to speak, when things are tough, when life has thrown you a curveball and you find yourself reeling, it can be almost impossible to be happy. You can do things and try things, but over time you'll find that there's just nothing that's going to itch that scratch. Scratch that itch. Strike that. Reverse it. Right? Isn't that what they say? But with joy, there is the ability to access joy at any time. That's why James can say that so definitely. Henry Nouwen wrote this that I thought quite meaningful. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. And this is the important part. It's a choice based on the knowledge that we belong to God and have found in God our refuge and our safety, and that nothing, nothing at all, not even death, can take that away from us. That's what joy is. And that, for that reason, joy is always available to us. And when we're removed from our salvation, when we sense that there's something troubling our soul, it can be very challenging. We get a great example of this in the Bible. As we all know, David was a man after God's own heart. David did many wonderful things in leading Israel. But we also remember that David did some not so honorable things. In fact, when we look at the story, David does something so vile that it almost defies reason. You see, at a certain point in time, David came up on the balcony of his palace, and there across the field, he saw a beautiful woman. And his heart was possessed by this beautiful woman's attractiveness, and he simply had to have her, and he did. But then, finding out that she was a married woman, he conspired with his generals to have Uriah the Hittite, the woman's husband, killed in battle. Now look, whenever we think about our sin, right, I hope we remember this story. And the reason is, this story reminds us that we can have a heart after God, we can be for God and with God, even after having done some really terrible things. Now, the difference is that we seek repentance and that our lives are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a It's not a just forgive me and it's all over. It really is a contriteness of heart that takes over, that's done through God's will. We see this in Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, which is tough to read if you're familiar with it, it's David's coming to God with the fullness of his sinfulness, hoping that God will restore to him the joy of his salvation. That's what he says. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's where we find our joy. It's not found in things that are wrapped under the tree. It's found in the certain and sure knowledge that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ took flesh. That God saw the state of broken humanity and chose to act once and for all in a final fashion, sending and issuing forth a new covenant. A covenant not written on tablets of stone, but instead etched upon the very contours of our heart. This is the Jesus Christ that comes at Christmas, a babe born in a manger. This is the Jesus Christ that comes to us even now by the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to us in a still small voice, reminding us that all will be well and all order and manner of things shall be well. Our salvation is what gives us joy. And that's why in this season of Lent, in this many the season of Advent, this mini Lent, that we hear the first glorious notes of God's symphony of salvation. It's here as we gather around the Word and are reminded that God chose to take action for a reason. For our sin was great. And only we should pay the debt. But only we have no power to pay the debt for our sin. But God does. And that's why God came in this unique one-of-a-kind form, 100% human, 100% God, Jesus Christ. He came because only God could pay the debt that we had amassed, but we needed to participate in its payment. And for that reason, Christ took upon his shoulders a guilty verdict, even though he was entirely innocent. Jesus Christ suffered and died for us and for our salvation. And in that, we know the love of God in a way that is inexplicable, that brings us joy beyond measure. Many of us encountered that joy for the first time if we were perhaps baptized as an adult, or took a confirmation class as a teenager, or found ourselves at summer camp somewhere making a profession for Jesus Christ. Now, we're Presbyterians. We believe our salvation happened 2,000 years ago, that quoting Scripture, that before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ wrote our names in the book of life. We feel and experience the choice as though it were our own, but as Reformed Presbyterians, we recognize that that action was entirely first and entirely God's. But when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, didn't that moment sparkle with a kind of resonant joy that can be brought forward to this very day? I hope that it has. I hear some yeses. I hope there are many out there in the congregation. Because this is what it's about, y'all. This experience of Jesus Christ that reminds us that we ourselves, although broken and fallen, weak and sinful, are made whole and rectified in front of God, given full innocence as a declaration from our God. We are forgiven. And just as we're to remember David's great transgression, no matter how great our transgressions were, God's miraculous grace and healing continues to flow to us as well. We see this so clearly in so many ways. In fact, it might surprise you that in my experience as a pastor, I've seen some of the most joyful times in funerals, in the time after a funeral. Why? Well, you think about it. You're gathered around the Word. You're there to remember that the Jesus Christ that died, died for the one that you'd lost, and that meant that the one that you lost was safe. After all, the one that you loved was with God. And then surrounded by family and friends who all believe in Jesus Christ, you can see joy erupt in the most amazing circumstances. Why? As I've said, because joy, unlike happiness, isn't connected to our context. It's entirely connected to our salvation, and that leads us in some direction. You see, joy itself is infection. There's a direction that joy leads us in. It's a direction that the Bible spells out, and it's a direction that we feel in our hearts on an ongoing basis, even when we encounter something that we just like. Now, let me tell you, I think I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to do it again because it is so tasty. There is over there in Morgan's Ice Cream Bar in Stanley, North Carolina, if you know the place, a thing called pecan praline pound cake. All right? Now, somebody, this man has had some. I guarantee it. He's laughing. See that eruption of happiness that comes out? You just can't help yourself, right? Well, over there, they've got this pecan praline pound cake. And I'll tell you what, it's something else, and I hope you'll go get some. And that's what I mean. When you find something you really like, aren't you just anxious and desirous for your friends to go out and sample it? Well, that's the direction that joy takes us when we experience it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy isn't just simply for our entertainment or enjoyment. It is something deeper. It's deeper stuff than just happiness. And so it ought to lead us in a particular direction. And it does. We come to a familiar reading in the Scriptures. The second chapter of Luke, the angel appears to the shepherd. I read verses 8 through 12. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." The shepherds, whose lives were pretty uneventful up until that point, have a celestial fireworks show, the likes of which we can only imagine. There before them, an angel of the Lord comes and declares the goodness of God and his deliverance through this child born in a barn. And the shepherds, stunned by this amazing event, go and change and do. And that's what I mean when I say that joy has a direction. Listen to the rest of the story, 15 through 20. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that they had been told concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds turned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You see, after this announcement of joy comes to them, it changes the direction of their path. And why shouldn't it? Because it wasn't just news, it was good news. And it wasn't just good news, it was good news of joy. And it wasn't just good news of joy, it was good news of great joy. And it wasn't just good news of great joy, it was good news of great joy for all of the people. It was a remarkable declaration of salvation, and it brought them the kind of joy that we know is attached to salvation, and then we know it leads us somewhere, doesn't it? Because immediately they went to confirm what they had been told. They go, and then finding it to be true, they begin what is certain to be a life of proclamation. Did you notice that they told what they had been told? And as they leave and go, you find them glorifying and praising the Lord above. You see, joy isn't just a solitary experience that happiness can be. Joy always changes us and molds us and sends us in another direction. It sends us to find and affirm the truth of the Lord standing in our hearts for ourselves and then feeling content with that assurance bubbling up in us, it sends us out into the world to declare the great good news of great joy for all people. That's the experience of joy that the Bible talks about. That's something that can never be taken from us, never be robbed for us, never be stolen from us. It is our inheritance, our birthright, a gift of God that can come to us in any time, in any season. We can have tears in our eyes as we mourn and be joyful. We can have our bodies in pain from illness and be joyful. We can find our consciousness wrecked with worry and fear and yet still be joyful. Why? Because nothing can take from us what Jesus Christ did on the cross so many years ago. If you want to have an experience of joy, I encourage you to take some action this holiday season, to do something that will foster it. One particular good idea that I often counsel when people are feeling low is to go and to find a chair in a room that's quiet and to find themselves a scripture, a Bible, preferably one that's well read and used that you can turn to in a flash. But consider turning to Psalm 23. You know, all of Scripture speaks to the care and provision and providence of God. And yet, certain passages of Scripture do for us that and then even more. And Psalm 23 is one of them, because it reminds us in a very powerful, visceral way almost, that God is watching over us, that God is caring about us, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do so not alone, but under the watchful eye of our shepherd and shepherding God. This is an amazing scripture to read to connect you with God. So take that Bible, take that chair, take that 23rd Psalm, and find yourself some time to simply be. Find yourself some time to be quiet, to clear your mind from the thoughts that populate it, to be at peace for just one moment during this holiday season. And then to absorb that 23rd Psalm and to connect with your salvation in a new and profound way, perhaps. You'll find that joy that lit up David's heart, that joy that lit up every Christian sinner's heart that has been shown salvation. You too will feel that experience, because it is not attached to your context. It's always and will forever be the result of a Lord Jesus Christ that loves you more than you can imagine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, into a time of prayer. We pray because we, at our heart, know that this is a God that not only hears our prayers, but that does indeed respond. We pray because this world is still broken by sin and there's no escaping it. And that means that into our lives that difficulty comes, that the rain comes and falls on both the righteous and the unrighteous alike. And finding the words of prayer in our heart, we lift them up to the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit and know that God responds. So join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you this day moved, touched, absorbed by a thirst for your joy. Oh Lord, deliver it to us. Give us that strong feeling of joyfulness that can really send us in a new direction, Father God. Awaken for us within that strong sense of the desire to share your good news of great joy for all peoples, with all the world, just like those shepherds did so many years ago. Gracious God, we make the prayer that you use us, mold us, shape us, send us forward from this place so that we might declare to the high, from the rooftops of our lives, that you are Lord, that Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. And that when he comes again, he'll inaugurate the full kingdom of God, in which there'll be no more sweet sickness, no more sadness, no more death, Father God. Encourage us to be evangelists in your name, proclaiming you and your joy. Allow the joy that you share with us to be the fuel that inspires our days and gives us the energy to do what you would have us do. And so we pray, O Lord, as a response to your goodness. We pray, O Lord, knowing and trusting that you will attend to the people we offer up to you. And so we pray, Father God. We pray this morning for Whitey Ridenour and his whole family upon the passing of his father. O Lord, be with this family in the coming days and weeks, reminding them of your ongoing love and care. Give them all strong assurance that their loved one is safe and kept with you, waiting for that grand reconciliation that comes when Jesus comes again. O Lord, so too do we pray for Hazel Dunn, O Lord, just asking that you be with her in the hospital, continuing to provide for her through the doctors and the nurses, O Lord. Provide all of them a spirit of your wisdom and illumination so that they might tend to her well. We pray for Lindsay Black. We pray for Tom McClure. We pray for Pat Hager. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Jack McClure. We pray for Debbie White. Oh Lord, we pray knowing that COVID seems to have another surge left in it. And so we pray for all of those who are sick or struggling or tending to loved ones with this illness. So too do we care and pray for the folks that are getting the flu or RSV. We understand this is a difficult season, oh Lord. Be so much for so many, providing healing and hope during this cold and flu season. We pray for our soldiers, oh Lord, wherever they may be, thanking you for them and asking that you keep them safe. Heavenly Father, we pray for our first responders, our doctors, our nurses. We pray for our firefighters and our police officers and EMTs. Oh Lord, be with them. Provide them peace and safety during this holiday season. Let them know of our full and steadfast thankfulness. Gracious God, all things are yours, and to you alone belong all power and honor and glory. We are delighted to make these prayers to you and offer them to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, concluding with the prayer he taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
There's a star in the east on Christmas morn. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. It will lead to the place where the Savior's born. Oh, rise up, shepherd, and follow. Up, shepherd, and follow the star of Bethlehem. Oh, rise up, shepherd, and follow. If you take good heed to the angel's words, rise up, shepherd, and follow. You forget your flocks, you forget your herds. Oh, rise up, shepherd, and follow. Follow, follow.
the Star of Bethlehem. O rise up, shepherd, and follow. Rise up, shepherd, and follow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the many blessings that you've poured into our lives. This Christmas season, help us be especially mindful of the many ways that you continue to bless and enrich our lives. And gracious God, as we bring a portion of those many gifts back to you, we just ask that you sanctify this offering, using it to do your work and your will in this, your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This is truly a season of joy. It's a season of joy because it's attached to Jesus Christ in a way that's intimate and true. We gather today, this Sunday, looking forward to the fulfillment that comes on Christmas Day, a day in which Jesus Christ took flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He came because He cared. He cared because He loved. He loved because He's God. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.